This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
As I was just chatting to Rachel Sibley about this whole question about ethics and AI and how it has emerged as one of the sort of peak topics at the moment is very interesting. I've just finished reading Harari's 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. It's something that he addresses as well, and paints a rather dystopian future about an entire labor force made redundant by machines. Well, it's a question that Alex Robsom, researcher in post-humanism and philosophy of technology and a PhD candidate at the University of Amsterdam, currently working at the Amsterdam School for Cultural Analysis, thinks about quite deeply. I hope that's not a business card, Alex, because that's one of the longest titles I've had today. Great to have you in my pop-up studio.
I'll rethink that introduction then for next time.
Now, your current research focuses on humans and technology, and the role of technology is to really complement people's ability. But how do we think about this whole question of technology not being a complement to our ability, but actually a threat to the human race, existentially?
Yeah, that's one of the things I spoke about today, and something I think that comes up now and then. We see it in the news, these like scary headlines of like, we're all going to die because AI is coming. And I think something that we need to consider very strongly in that discussion is, it kind of depends on how we define what it means to be human, right? If we want to think about if this, that humanity is under threat, what of our human nature is so threatened by this artificial intelligence? And one of the things I'd like to highlight is that we're actually living in an age where what we currently think about what it means to be human is very informed by the computation we see all around us. And you can catch this when people are representing, for instance, what happens in their minds. It's like, they'll say, I didn't save that, right? Like, you have my documents in your head, or I'm having brain overload, things are getting rusty up here. Well, these are all negative, but
I am hardwired to think a particular way.
I've heard someone say AI is an upgrade to the neocortex. There's a speaker that was at this event last year who talks about the microbiome as hacking our human gut, etc. We have a lot of ways in which we think about ourselves in a way that is metaphorically related to computers. And this is actually something that we historically see a lot. So throughout history, there's other technologies that we've had which have made their way into how we think about what it means to be human. So if we see that, then thinking about this threat that we're perceiving, if we think of ourselves as a computer and then we're developing a computer that's going to be better at the computing, then we're going to feel threatened, right? If we open up the possibility of maybe we're more than just the information processing entities that we think of ourselves, then we needn't feel so threatened. That's one part. The other part is the however, which is automation and job displacement is real, and we need to have a plan in place to address that. If you think of the Industrial Revolution a century ago, there are still families that are currently still impacted by job displacement that happened then. Generations. It takes about 2 to 3 generations to recover from such a revolution. And as we're moving into an automation revolution, this is something that we need to be talking about. So there's two sides to that story. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't think we need to be feeling threatened at an existential level, because that just comes from us narrowly defining ourselves as computers, but rather we do need to think about, like, what are we doing and how are we addressing opportunities for humans outside of automation.
It's not like the AI is going to come Terminator-like and hunt down human beings. They may take our jobs, and if we define ourselves as our jobs, then perhaps we are under threat, but we are certainly more than our jobs. That said, it is a very fundamental political and economic question.
Yes.
About what we do with large populations out of work.
Yeah.
and how governments think of social security, universal.
Yes.
Basic income, and those.
Yeah.
Kinds of questions then do come to the fore.
Exactly. And UBI is one that's often discussed as an alternative for 4-day work week, etc. So we're seeing there's a lot of ways in which we can address that, absolutely. But yeah, my research is more indeed on the, like, are we all going to die because there's a Terminator? I don't think so.
So Elon Musk, you don't have to worry. It doesn't look like we're going to be displaced and destroyed by machines just yet.
If I can add to the doom and gloom, I think global warming is going to kill us all way earlier than any AI would.
Oh, there we go. The climate crisis is far more serious. Well, hopefully
hopefully
we can develop some technology. And there is technology already in the energy space, but some better technology to capture carbon and to store it and that kind of thing. Certainly for a country that produces so much carbon out of our coal-fired power stations, that's an area where we should be focusing on. I just want to focus on this question of AI from a philosophical perspective, because you said, you know, if we frame ourselves computationally, as computers, then perhaps we are under threat, but we're more than that. You know, we have biochemical processes that make us fall in love, and one thinks of everything that happens behind the scenes. Harari does mention the fact that we do now have systems that can mimic and read some of those biochemical processes. So where do we see this convergence end when we start to see even that impinging upon how we view ourselves as human beings?
Okay, so I haven't read his latest book, but I do know of Harari that he's fundamentally sort of a reductionist thinker. So he has a worldview where everything falls into a system, right? And I am not necessarily of that school, where I more believe in not everything can be captured by this current paradigm of systems thinking. I'll say about the ethics of AI and a lot of that goes on in that space is we need to consider... And so, okay, so let me give you an example. I run a workshop on algorithmic bias, right? Where we have participants code their own algorithm, and they'll always say, like, no, our algorithm isn't biased. Then the algorithm actually reveals the kind of biases that they've put in, and people are quite, you know, open to saying, like, oh, yeah, actually, there is a lot of bias that we've programmed into this. The lesson there is that we have to understand that all of these technologies, especially algorithms, especially machine learning algorithms, are made by us humans. And while we may ascribe or may want to ascribe a certain objectivity to those systems, I think a reintroduction of those human, fuzzy, hard to define, not easily captured in ones and zeros kinds of considerations that we put in, that's very different. We operate fundamentally very differently than any algorithm does.
How should coders and developers be thinking about the way they develop their algorithms through that ethical lens, being mindful of the fact that truth is very subjective in this world, and there is hardly an objective truth because there are cultural nuances, there are gender nuances. So how should we be approaching this?
I believe, okay, so that's actually a very interesting question, because very often when we're talking about algorithmic bias, for instance, people will say, oh, so then we just need to take away that bias and then we'll have a bias-free algorithm. I don't believe such a thing exists, and I don't believe we should even strive for it, because human culture is fed by biases, and that's partly what makes it interesting, right? But we need to be aware of the biases that we program into the whatever technology we're using. And so we need to be able to address the limitations of any technology that we develop because we're aware of that bias. So what we shouldn't strive for is a master algorithm that will govern the whole world, but to be aware of, like, okay, I've programmed this to optimize for X, and someone else has programmed something to optimize for Y. So we don't deploy algorithm X in the context of optimizing for Y, right? We need to have these kinds of limitations to where we deploy what we do, and to be aware of the kinds of biases that are in there, because otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Alex, it's a fascinating topic that could probably keep us going for the rest of the show. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. A great pleasure meeting you.